Hey, my name is Nathan. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church. It is a pleasure to be with you, and I especially love being in Westbury, and part of the reason is it's kind of like the home court advantage. I mean, I was here at the beginning when this campus started. I know so many of you, and I know you're going to love me because even if I'm lousy, you love me. I'm part of the body. I fit in, and it's a nice spot to be in when you know that you belong somewhere and people love you. Well, last week we began a new series called I'm In. And I don't know, am I getting feedback? Is that what I'm hearing? Just like in the video intro, did you guys notice this, that there were these embers on the outside, and they were kind of cooling down, but you'll notice that the ones that were on the inside, when they were together, they were heated up and on fire. Well, and this is what this is all about. We don't want to just be on the periphery. We want to come in. We want to be connected in the center. And this series is all about being in the center of what God is doing. All the messages of the series begin with I in. You know, I'm in, I'm invited, I'm whatever. So last week we learned that we are invited. God has invited us into the circle, the very center of his loving fellowship and his purposes. After accepting the invitation, though, today we're going to learn about what it means to be part of Christ's body, that is, the church, what it means to be connected with other members of a diverse body. Diverse members of this body of Christ, and what it looks like for those diverse parts to be unified, coordinated, and connected so that it contributes to the well-being of the whole, so that they're unified, so that the body can function in a healthy manner, so that God is glorified, so we can function the way God intended us to function. See, body really is a great metaphor. It really is. I mean, for the church, for the people of God. The truth is, the church is not some dead organization. Did you know that? The church is a living organism, not a dead organization. The church is alive. And so all these parts that is made up of, each one of the parts contribute to the building up, to the health, to the well-being of the whole organism. Each part is vital. It's vital, therefore, that we get in where we fit in. You've heard that expression? Get in where you fit in. This is imperative. And it's also imperative for us to understand that each one of us is indispensable. We each have an indispensable role to play in the well-being of the body, you and me. Because if one part is missing, misplaced, or injured, or hurting, the whole body, the whole organism suffers. And it's not as effective as God wanted it to be. If anything's out of whack, it decreases our effectiveness. And you see, and I know this all too well personally. As many of you know, I grew up in southern Indiana on a farm. I was raised by my grandparents, 110 acres. And one of the things that we did, we had all this wooded land. We heated our house by wood. So when I was 3 years old, my grandparents drove down to the back 40 of the property, as they say in Indiana, and my grandfather cut down some trees, and I was in the truck with my grandmother with some other siblings, and I was throwing a fit because I wanted to be where Papa was, and they finally let me out of the truck, and he was splitting wood. Now, sometimes when you cut up wood, you'll get a piece that has a knot on it, or it's very hard to split with an axe, so you can't split it with an axe. What you have to do is you get a wedge, a steel wedge, and a sledgehammer, and you drive the wedge into the wood, and that splits the wood open. Well, my grandfather made me stand 10 or 15 feet behind him, and I was standing there as a little boy. He struck the wedge with the sledgehammer, and a piece of that metal from the wedge chipped off, went back between his legs, and went through my eye. So my eye, it severed the optic nerve, is completely severed, so I'm completely blind in my left eye. So if you ever wonder what's going on with my eye, that's what happened. In fact, the metal was so far back, and they were worried about it being close to my brain, they never removed it. I still have metal behind my left eye. So no MRIs for me, you know. But you see, what you learn is some things are indispensable. I grew up in Indiana. Everybody plays basketball in Indiana. But guess who doesn't play basketball? I mean, I can shoot, But the reason is, it's a sport that people can come up on my left side. So I didn't play it. I played tennis, I wrestled, I ran track. I did any sport you could keep in front of you so I could see it. But I avoided things where people could slip up on my blind side. The truth of the matter is there are some parts that are just indispensable. Some things really are indispensable. They're absolutely vital for the proper functioning of an organism. If the parts are missing or injured or out of alignment, the whole organism, well, it just can't flourish to its full potential. You miss out on something. And the body has to expend a whole lot more resources to compensate for that missing or injured part. Did you know that? I mean, I have to look a lot more than most people have to look. I mean, and some things are just irreplaceable. And for those who have lost loved ones in 911, you know this to be true. I mean, yeah, life goes on, but it never goes on exactly the same. There's a limp. There's a painful scar. There's something that doesn't function exactly the same way anymore because of this loss. Long after life goes on, the pain sometimes goes on. So some things really are indispensable. And this is exactly what Paul was pointing out when he wrote to the church in Corinth. You see, Corinth was a really gifted body of believers. This church had lots of gifts. And the people were great speakers. They admired people who could speak. They loved oratorical skill. And they also had some wealthy people. They had some poor people. But they had some wealthy ones, well-to-do. Very bright, gifted group. So the Corinthian church is filled with diverse people with diverse gifts, some rich, some poor, some suffered from spiritual superiority complex, but others suffered from spiritual inferiority complex. Some thought, I don't belong. I don't belong here. And others thought, I don't need you. I don't need anything. I mean, see, these gifts and issues threaten to divide and disintegrate the vital unity in the body that's needed for the organism to be coordinated, effective, and flourish. Both of them had problems, whether superiority complex or inferiority complex. So Paul uses this metaphor of the body to correct the Corinthians' wrong attitudes and actions, and promote unity in the midst of the diversity, to promote interdependence rather than independence, to bring about wholeness and integration. Well, notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 15 through 27, rather. It says, now if the foot should say, because I am a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's pray. Father, I ask for your help because I need you. We need you. And we need each other. God, I pray that through your Spirit, by your Spirit, and through your Word, God, that you would teach us how integral we are to your body, how indispensable each one of us is for your purposes and your glory, how you have empowered us with your presence, with your grace, so that we can function the way you want us to function, so that we can represent Christ to this world, so that we can grasp what you have for us, so that we can stand and be balanced, so that we can glorify your name. I pray that by your Spirit, you teach us, Lord, to trust your grace, yield to your grace, to accept your giftings, and use them for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so in this passage, there are two types of people I want you to notice. Each one of them is fallen into a ditch on either side of the road. It's kind of like they got off course. One went to one ditch, the other went to another ditch. The first type of people underestimates the grace of God and suffers from a spiritual inferiority complex. I don't know if you've ever met anyone like that. Have you ever been that person? They underestimate the grace and gifting of God in their lives. They don't feel like they belong. They just don't belong. I mean, like they're not an integral part of the body. So verses 15 through 17 point this out. Look at the bright yellow text up here. It says, I do not belong. This is kind of the mantra of a person with a spiritual inferiority complex. They might feel like they're a foot. It says, now, if the foot should say, I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Some people feel like I'm a lowly foot. You know, I don't even belong. I don't fit in here. I don't have any gifts. Or as in verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being that part of the body, would it? I mean, it's true. 80% of most of our information comes through our eyesight. But the ears are important too. So some people have this inferiority complex. Verse 17, it says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? You see, you got to understand at this time that the metaphor of the body was used in a lot of cultures at this time. And usually the way it ran was like this. If you were higher up in society, you were depicted as higher up on the body, like the head. If you were a head of state, if you were an emperor, if you were well-to-do. But if you were lower on the totem pole, you were pictured as something lower on the body. But Paul's going to flip this image very quickly. You see, first of all, he says, we're not all supposed to be the same. I mean, God didn't create us to be the same. I mean, things that don't seem like they have much function, actually, the more we learn, are very valuable. I mean, for a long time, people thought that tonsils have, you know, you can remove them, no problem. They're not useful for anything. Or the appendix, you can get rid of it. You don't need it. Well, while it's true you can live without them, the truth is doctors don't like to remove tonsils anymore or appendices. And the reason they don't is because they actually help modulate the immune system. They help protect you against disease. Those things that you thought didn't have any function, those little, like, I mean, what's an appendix? You know, those little tonsils, they have vital roles to play. And so this idea that we should all be the same or one part is just wrong. It's each part is indispensable. So people, they underestimate God's grace. His empowering presence. The person that says, I'm a foot, or I don't have much to offer, or I don't belong, they're mistaken, because every part of the body is indispensable, even the big toe. I mean, and we often underestimate just how indispensable these body parts are because they seem so lowly. Big toes really are important. Pastor Greg alluded to Judges, the book of Judges he's going through. Well, you know, in Judges chapter 1, there's this interesting story about a wicked king named Adoni-Bezek. Now, he's a king who bragged about cutting off the big toes and the thumbs of 70 kings he had conquered. Now, there's a reason why they would mutilate in this way. Partly it was to humiliate the prisoner, but it was also to ensure that they'd never be able to serve again. That they would have to, they couldn't run, they couldn't grasp things, so they had to spend their life begging. They were eliminated from being competition. Now, ironically, or perhaps because he was reaping what he sowed, well, this same Adoni-Bezek, the same thing happened to him. He lost his thumbs and his big toes. You see, the big toe, the fancy name in medicine is hallux, it is an important part of your body. You'll underestimate how important it is. Do you know, when you take a step, it is the last part of your foot to touch the ground. It carries 40% of your weight. You lose a big toe, you're forever off balance. You lose both big toes, you've got some real problems. And the body has to work a lot harder to compensate for the loss. Everything is thrown off balance. And another thing is that if you lose a big toe, actually the bones in the foot begin to shift into different positions. I mean, everything gets out of whack. And when the body is out of whack like that, the whole organism is affected for the negative. You see, for a body to be a body, it can't just be one part. It can't be uniform. There must be diversity in unity. And by the way, you can have unity without uniformity. Do you know that? Diversity is important. Unified diversity is the best. Each unique part is indispensable, and it contributes to the well-being of the whole. You are indispensable, whether you're a big toe or a thumb. We need our big toes. We need our thumbs. Otherwise, we're off balance, unable to grasp and wield what God has for us. If we're going to run this race of faith effectively, we need all the diverse parts of our bodies intact, integrated, coordinated. It needs to be integrated. Do you know what the word integer is in math? We say integration. Integer just means a whole number, in contrast to a fraction. We don't need, or something divided. Integrity is wholeness. God wants us to be integrated. Now, you may feel like you're a lowly body part, a big toe, a thumb maybe, and you don't belong. Well, don't let the devil lie to you. Don't lie to yourself. You are an integral, indispensable part of the body, and the body needs you. You do belong to the body. No matter what part of the body you are indispensable in the body of Christ. Don't underestimate the grace of God in your life. There's no reason to have a spiritual inferiority complex. God's Spirit will empower you to do what he calls you to do. But not everybody had a spiritual inferiority complex. Some people fell into the other ditch. Some people, well, they overestimated their own abilities and fell into the other ditch. The second type of people in our passage, these can be found in verses 21 through 24, well, they've got a superiority complex. And look at what it says. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you, looking down on them. No, that's not the way it works. You can't say, I don't need. I mean, like the first group, this second group, they underestimate God's grace just in a different way. You see, they don't realize just how much everything they have, everything they do has depended on God's grace. Somehow they think, they wrongly, that their gifts come from themselves. They don't think that they need anyone. You know, they've got this. I've got this. I can do this independently, completely independent from everyone else. A Lone Ranger Christian. But that's not the way God designed us to be. Those body parts located higher up on the body seem to be acting like those that are located at lower regions are dispensable. But Paul's having none of it. He corrects them. Take a look at what he says in verse 22. He says, on the contrary, he's contradicting them. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are what? Indispensable. Can we say, I'm indispensable? You are indispensable. So Paul contradicts this arrogant attitude of independence. Paul sticks up for the big toes. I mean, he's looking out for him. See, those in lower or more hidden places are given special honor. Look at verse 23, what it says. It says, in the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. I've seen some people buy some shoes to cover those feet. And they'll spend a lot of money. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Now, this is probably speaking of genitalia. While our presentable parts, verse 24, need no special treatment. You know, we don't really cover our faces. You know, those higher up parts. But what is Paul getting at here? He's saying, well, look, those who are higher up, they don't get special treatment. Just because you think you've got this, or you have a part of the body that seems to be, you know, out in the open, the seen part of the body, well, you don't get special treatment. Those who overestimate themselves or thought themselves to be superior by underestimating the need for God's grace in their life, they don't get any special respect. They don't. Those with a superiority complex need to realize just how absolutely, completely dependent they are on God's grace. You see, Paul's not rebuking their altitude. He's rebuking their attitude. I mean, an attitude of independence. See, they don't realize their need to be dependent on God, nor their interdependence on other people, other parts of the body, the big toes that give them balance and the feet that bear them up. I wouldn't be standing if I had no feet. You see, and this is the crux of the matter. An attitude of independence versus an attitude of interdependence. You see, independence says this. It says, I can do it by myself. You ever met somebody very independent? I can do it by myself. Independence versus interdependence. I've got this. I don't need you. Foot, toe, thumb, whatever you are. But the proper attitude is an attitude of interdependence. Not codependence, interdependence. Interdependence says, I cannot do it alone. We need each other. You see, the goal of interdependence in the church and among churches is to reflect the unity of the body of Christ in the midst of all of its diversity. You can have unity in the midst of diversity. And, you know, now I know interdependence is difficult to develop in a culture when we all insist on our rights. You know, our individuality. But we are called to be ministers of reconciliation. And if we're going to do that effectively, we need to learn to be interdependent. Not all of us are thumbs or eyes or ears or big toes or feet or whatever. In interdependent living, we learn to appreciate the uniqueness of the other and the need to bring what the other has into the relationship. Too often we differ from each other because we differ with each other. Or maybe it's the other way around. We differ with each other because we differ from each other. So what's your attitude? I mean, are you independent? Is that your attitude? Or are you interdependent? I mean, what do your actions say? How are you living your life? It's one thing to say, I'm interdependent. Do your actions say that? Do you say, I don't belong? Maybe you have an inferiority complex, a spiritual inferiority complex. Or maybe you say, I don't need you. I got this. But no matter what you say, all parts are absolutely dependent on God's grace. We are the masterpiece of the master designer. Earlier in the chapter, it says that it was one spirit, the same spirit that gives these gifts. Do you know that? We all share the same Holy Spirit who gives these gifts. You see, sandwiched between these verses describing those with a spiritual superiority complex and a spiritual inferiority complex, or ones with an attitude of independence versus an attitude of interdependence, is the master designer. Starting with verse 18, it says this, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. See, he integrates them. He brings them together. God is a master designer. He masterfully arranges the parts integrated into the whole according to his desires. In fact, that word placed, a better way to translate that would be something like arrange, meticulously arrange. What bridges these two contrary ditches is the master himself, who is designing us to be the way we're supposed to be. And he's very careful about placing us where we need to be. And it's his grace that does it. Does anyone know what this is? Yeah, right? This is a Mr. Potato Head. Actually, when this was invented a long time ago, it only came with the parts. And you actually used a real potato. Kids would use real potatoes. And, I mean, people were poorer back then. And they would stick the body parts into the potato and form whatever they needed. Well, parents began to complain because you had a lot of rotting potatoes around the house. So the company thought better of it and designed a body. But here's the thing about it. If things are out of function, like if the hand ends up where the ear should be, you know, or the ear ends up where, well, I don't know if I can get his nose off or not. You know, things get out of whack. We were not designed to be this way. So it's important that we have all the parts. I mean, it's hard when you have no eyes. But it's also important that not only are the parts there, but they're there in the right place. And you see, God places each of us, no matter what you are, a foot, a hand, an ear, a mouth, a nose, whatever you are, God himself arranges us according to the way he wants us to be a masterpiece. And there are no big I's and little U's. There are none, not in the kingdom of God. God wants us to be whole, an integer, not a fraction. He doesn't want us divided. So the parts need to be placed in their proper place. And here's the key. Yield to God's grace. That's his empowering presence. A lot of times we hear God's grace is unmerited favor. It's certainly that, at least that. But it's more than that. It's the empowering presence of his Spirit that arranges all the parts of the body. And if you have a spiritual inferiority complex, well, recognize and receive God's grace. He can help you. His empowerment, his ability to arrange you and to make you an integral part of his body. Stop saying, I don't belong. You do belong. You're accepted in the beloved. The same Spirit that empowers the higher up empowers you. You may not know what your gifts are yet, but trust me, God's given you something. You may be bearing up the whole body. And if you have a spiritual superiority complex, maybe it's not, oh, I think I'm better than somebody. It could be that. But I've got this. I can do this by myself. Well, if that's you, realize it's because of God's grace that you are where you are. You haven't achieved what you've achieved independent of God or others, by the way. Stop saying, I don't need ... You do need. You just don't know how needy you are. So we do belong to him. And we do need him. Like any master artist, God loves diversity. He loves it. He made each of us unique and indispensable. He says in verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but how many bodies? One body. But he has made us one body, unified. Unity in diversity. If you pull out a quarter, one of the things right above the eagle's head that you'll notice is this phrase in Latin, e pluribus unum. Out of many, one. It's a picture of diversity and unity. And we live in a social and political climate that's so divided. Don't allow political affiliations or personal preferences or position where you are fracture Christ's body. Out of many, one. The kingdom of God comes first. The body of Christ comes first. Depend on God and be interdependent on the members of his body. Verse 25 says, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have what kind of concern? Equal concern for each other. Jesus' body was broken so that we could be unified, integrated. He put the well-being of others before his own. He's called his body to this very same self-sacrificial, self-giving love. We're supposed to embody the love of Christ, the self-giving, self-sacrificial love of Christ. You see, we're in this together, verse 26. It says, truth is, we are one body, and if one part is there, it affects the other parts. It's just how it is, part of being a body. We cry together. We laugh together. We love together. If you're hurting, I hurt. If you laugh, I'm probably going to laugh. Sometimes I'm a tough one, I'll be honest. But if you tell a good joke, I'll laugh. So we're in it together. No one is dispensable. You're not expendable. And this is because we belong to him. We are his body. You are his body. Verse 27 says this. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. In Greek, this you is the plural. In the South, we'd say y'all. It says, y'all are the body of Christ. When? Now. I mean, he was talking to the Corinthians, but he was talking about all Christians that belong to Jesus. Now, y'all are the body of Christ. Together we make up the body of Christ, and each of us is a member in it. We do belong, and guess what? You're needed. You are so needed. Now, you might be saying, well, I don't know. I don't know where I fit in. I don't know if I have any gifts. You do, because the same spirit that empowers me, I grew up very poor out in the middle of nowhere in Indiana. God can do anything. He can do anything. He can. Yeah, and it's the grace of God. But you may not know where you belong. Well, hey, guess what? Small groups is a great place to learn what your gifts are. You're not in a big crowd like this. This can be intimidating. But in a small group around people who love you and you get to know, you can learn to exercise and develop your gifts. It's a great place. You should be a part of a small group. My best experiences at Shelter Rock are almost always in my small groups. They know when I'm missing. When I'm sick, they bring me soup. I know they pray for me. And I can mess up a lot. I can mess up a lot around you guys, so you love me. But I'm telling you, my small group, I can mess up. And their love will cover a multitude of my sins. And you might say, well, I don't know exactly what gifts I have. We have a thing called SHAPE. It gives kind of a spiritual gift assessment. It's part of one of our membership classes, our contribute class. We offer this. You can take this, and it will help you find and explore and develop those gifts, point you in the right direction. So the question I have for you, do I need to think a little more highly of God's grace in my life? Do you? I mean, God can do this in you. Or maybe I need to humble myself a little bit. Stop being a lone ranger thinking, I got this, because you don't got this. You've been put a part of a body. It would make no sense for, you know, I remember the Addams Family. You had a hand walking around, but that's not real life. It doesn't work that way. We need each other. We need to depend, all of us, on the grace of God. And you might say, well, I'm so messed up. I don't know how God can use me. He can. He can heal anything. Maybe you've lost someone in 911. You can't replace a loss like that, but you can see them again. I can't replace my left eye, but there's coming a day when I'll see again, because God can do anything. God will. Jesus is coming back for a bride without a spot or blemish, without a wrinkle. Now, we're not there yet. We haven't arrived, and that's precisely why we need to depend on God's grace and be interdependent on other members of his body. So if this is you, maybe you're saying, okay, I've accepted this invitation. Maybe you haven't even accepted the invitation. You want to say, how can I be a part of the body? Well, we're going to pray. Or maybe you say, well, okay, I'm a Christian now, but I don't think I belong. You do belong. You belong. You're integral. You are indispensable. Or maybe you think, I got this. I've been doing just fine on my own. You're mistaken. You just don't see it yet. If God would pull his grace back just for a second, you'd realize how wretched you are, how needy you are. If you fit into any of these categories, I want to pray, and we're going to ask God to, one, show us how indispensable we are, but how much we absolutely, completely, utterly depend on the grace of God, the blood of Jesus. Can we pray? Father, I thank you so much for your body, the diversity of it, but also the unity you bring through Jesus Christ. And I join with the prayer of Jesus. Father, I pray that your people would be one, just as you and your Son are one. I pray, Father, for the person who thinks that they don't fit in, they don't belong, that you demonstrate through the power of your Spirit how needed, how indispensable they are. For the person who thinks they've got this, God, show them how much they have depended on your grace unknowing, unwittingly, up to this point. And Father, for the ones who don't know you at all, who want and long to be a part of a body, something bigger than themselves, I pray that by your Spirit, you save them. Make them a part of your body. Father, forgive us of our sins. Lord Jesus, we do trust you. We do believe you. We ask you to be the Lord of our life. We ask you to be the conductor. Arrange every instrument, every part. Orchestrate us, symphonize us, harmonize us. Use us, the diverse instruments, in a unified way to sing your music before the world so that they would know that we're your disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.